Hello and welcome to the Scouts NI podcast. For February this month, we have Becca Buchanan with us. Hello, Becca.
Okay.
Becca is our Northern Ireland Commissioner for Squirrels.
The first one ever as well. Yeah. We have to add that in, the first ever one.
So congratulations, Becca.
I'm going to pick my head up here. It's going to be.
For being the first Commissioner for Squirrels in Northern Ireland.
Thank you.
So we usually start with just like a would you rather, just to ease the guests in nice and gently. So Michael, do you want to?
Yes.
I'm a little bit scared by your face.
you should be. So let's see. Okay. Would you rather be 3 feet tall or 8 feet tall? You can answer well, Vicky.
Okay, I'll let Becca go first.
I'd rather be 3 feet tall because I feel like I could get up to a lot of mischief if I was 3 feet tall. Be very sneaky.
That's a good reason. My reason is completely random. I would also rather be 3 feet tall.
Okay.
And my reasoning is I'm currently 5'10", and it annoys me that I can't wear high heels on a night out because I dwarf everybody that's with me. And as well as that, if I was 3 foot tall, I would be able to wear children's clothes, and children's clothes are always nicer adult clothes.
Genuinely, they are.
So okay, that's why I would be three foot tall.
I'm going to say 8 foot tall.
They're also
not
cheaper. Sorry, I've been with the clothes there.
Yeah.
See, that's always been my issue. I have big feet. So I know friends of mine, like, oh, we get kids' shoes. I'm like, oh, look at you.
Imagine if you
like
were 3 foot tall with 8 foot tall feet.
Clown feet.
Literally, yeah.
Like a size 12 from the boatyard.
See, I go for 8 foot tall only because they give me a good view of like sport matches and stuff, like concerts. And I'd be that guy to stand in front of a concert so nobody can see you behind me. I'd be that guy. And I have no issue being that guy. I'm that guy anyway.
You'd be the guy getting everything thrown at you.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
go for a second one.
Okay.
That was a good one.
So, let's see. Okay. Would you rather have a full blown moustache for a year or permanently hairy legs for 10 years?
Oh, it's grim, Michael.
I think the leg hair, because you can hide it.
Okay.
Like, you can wear trousers and it's fine. Whereas if I had a moustache and was walking about for a year with it, I'd be a wee bit more self-conscious.
Well, yes and no. The way things are currently.
You already have a moustache, Michael.
Well, people wear masks a lot of the time. You can have a mask on, no one would know.
That's true.
My moustache is kind of dodgy, so it wouldn't really matter. I'd take a full proper moustache.
I suppose it would depend, because moustache art's all in at the minute.
See, a friend of mine is one of the big fancy ones with all the twirls in it.
Yeah, I would get bubbles for it at Christmas and some glitter. You can get a beard tree kit.
I've seen that. My friend is one of those, but he's got a big, massive, like, ginger. Like, he gets his beard groomed and everything. Like, it's down to, like, here.
No, I've seen somebody dye their beard, like, purple and all, and decorate it.
Yeah, that's
I don't know if I like that.
But I feel like it would be difficult, because if you got the dye on your face, it would stain it.
Yes.
Me, knowing a lot about that, because I dye my hair a lot.
Me too. You can tell. Yeah. I dye my hair. For those who don't know, I'm bald. But yeah, I dye my hair all the time.
Okay, well, yeah, from leg hair and multicolored beards, back to scouting. So
that was a nice segue.
Yeah, good link. Should be a radio DJ. So just for people listening, Squirrels is relatively new to the Scouts NI official family. So do you want to kind of give a little bit of background, Becca, as to how that happened and kind of timelines and things?
Yeah, so Squirrels in Northern Ireland has been running for over 20 years, but it's only recently been merged with Scouts UK and been made part of Scouting properly. So in 2017, there was a summit which took place, and a bunch of sort of youth commissionery type people decided that, you know, they were going to lower the age of beavers at first of all.
Okay.
So we were like, that's going to completely obliterate one of our sections over here.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, they were going to lower the beaver age to 5.
Oh, okay.
So that would have took out squirrels.
Oh, yeah, very much, yeah.
So a lot of us were we were squirrel leaders, a lot of us and things as well. And we seen the benefits that the young people were getting. So we kind of said no. And we stood up at the different sessions and we're like, we think this is a better idea. This is what we are working with. This is, you know, it's beneficial. Yeah. We can see how good it has been for young people. And then we started a petition that went around the whole of the place and got like, I don't know how many signatures. We passed it to Tim Kidd at one point, who was completely fed up at this point, because I think he'd heard about it the whole weekend. There was an app for it that we started using the hashtag squirrel shake your bushy tail and hashtag squirrel revolution and everything on it, and started like doing big pick-me-ups with that.
Fair enough.
Now, I can neither confirm nor deny that I was the ringleader of this, but it happened. And since then, it became part of the strategic plan for development for UK as early years. And I joined the early years board whenever it was started as well, because I was on the national role pool, which gives like young people opportunities to be part of like wider teams and stuff.
Okay.
So that's how I ended up on that. They ran pilots for like family led, partner led, and then also the scout led. The scout led at the minute is the only model that's went forward and been fully confirmed, but there is still pilots for like family led and partner led. So that's kind of how it kind of stemmed from just a Northern Ireland thing to the whole of the UK thing. And I think it's done really well, and I think it's been picked up and received very well, and everybody seems to kind of see the benefits for young people.
Well, I think it's great that, you know, like in Scouts, we want young people to take a lead, and we want young people to have their say and to be involved in like organisational structure and in management and all of that. So the fact that it was youth commissioners and young people from Northern Ireland who petitioned and who pushed and who got squirrels over the line is just incredible. Hats off as well though to the Northern Ireland Squirrels Association,
yes,
who had
definitely
been running it so well for so many years. A number of people behind that who done such a great job. Mm. But yeah, well done to you and the rest of the group.
The Squirrel Association definitely set like the base for everything, and without like any of the work, like they are on the early years board as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of like where Squirrel Scouts has been shaped from has been the Northern Ireland Squirrel Association.
Yeah.
So without them, it wouldn't be possible to start off with.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
I think a lot of people who, like, you know, we've talked to, you know, and hearing from across the water as well in UK is that the benefits of starting at 4 and 5 are huge.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with COVID and with the way things kind of have happened the last couple of years, the majority of these 4-year-olds that are moving into squirrels now have spent half of their life in a lockdown. Mm-hmm. And really do need that socialisation and the informal education.
Totally.
And everything that scouting provides. So I think it's great that there's young people and there's children who, you know, maybe wouldn't have had the opportunity to do squirrels, especially in places like England, and who have only just adopted squirrels in. So many young people and children would have missed and wouldn't have got to be able to join till they're 6, and then that's even more of their life that, you know, they're missing out on those opportunities and experiences.
No, definitely. And the earlier you get in with young people and the earlier you kind of start to form that basis for learning and skill development, mm-hmm. the more that they're going to achieve as they get older, because they've already started to achieve things as they're younger, and they can only go for bigger challenges and bigger challenges. And I know a lot of people kind of think if you start them early, they leave early. But then look at me. I started early and I'm still here.
I was just thinking that actually both you and Michael both started in squirrels as 4-year-olds, have came the whole way through. You're still in scouting. Michael's a staff member. Becca, you're a Northern Ireland commissioner. Mm-hmm. And there's so many other people in roles of responsibility who started in squirrels.
In the full circle.
Yeah, and it's amazing. So it's really obvious and really clear the benefits that squirrels have. So thanks to the Northern Ireland Squirrel Association, and thanks to you and the rest of the youth commissioners at the
Summit.
Couldn't think of that.
I know you couldn't. So you told us a bit, I suppose, your how it came about. So suppose then, what do you, as a typical day is the NIC for squirrels, what does it actually look like? Or typical week per se? What does it look like?
Well, I think to start off, it's been a lot of sort of getting to know people, because obviously the Northern Ireland Squirrel Association was kind of, it wasn't separate from scouting in Northern Ireland, but it did have its own like basis for things. And it was sort of my job then to try and get to know the key leaders involved, like the people in the districts and the counties and stuff, because I see my role as more of a supporter role. And yes, I'm like planning on running events and things and for Northern Ireland, but it's really from the ground up, I feel like, and you need to support right from the bottom right up to the top. So over the last wee while, it's been a lot of that, along with kind of trying to bridge the gap between what Scouts UK are now doing and what the Northern Ireland Squirrel Association was doing. And that was through like the leader pack and stuff that I've done. Along, obviously, I have a deputy too, so it's not just me.
Oh yes, we need to remember Rachel.
I know.
Yeah. And Rachel, we came up with the pack for leaders, which kind of bridges that gap. And now it's program planning. So we're looking at leader development days. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a squirrel day, which is hopefully going to be centered around the superhero badge and stuff like that. Day to day, I wouldn't say it's as typical as like a section leader role or things. There's not as many like day to day things.
Sure,
it's more the wider picture type thing.
Thank you.
Okay, and yeah, I think what you're saying is so right. You know, it's great that there's events and different things for the, you know, going forward for the squirrels at Northern Ireland level, but you know, getting in amongst leaders and supporting them to run a program week to week. Is so important too. So
that's where you're going to see the most benefit, I feel, is like it's what the like the weigh-ins are getting constantly week to week, whereas like a Northern Ireland event happens once every so often.
Yeah.
And yes, it's great, and you know, like they can get so much out of that too, but it's really what they're getting on their week to week that matters most, I feel.
They're literally seeing them say 40 times a year compared to an event that's
once or twice.
Yeah, totally. 100%. Yeah.
So then you are the first Northern Ireland Commissioner for Squirrels and Rachel's the first Deputy Commissioner for Squirrels. So how were you recruited and why did you apply?
I hate like being said that I'm the first Northern Ireland Commissioner, just from the sense of like, obviously the Squirrel Association was there and I know it's like they're different things, but I always just feel like I should pay respect to them as well. not sounds like they're dead or something to me like that, but like, I feel like I should pay respect to them because they've obviously done so much here and I've taken over from that, although it's a different role and there's not as many people, like there's not, you know, the treasurer and all of them type people.
Yeah.
So it is kind of new. I forget the question.
So so just kind of briefly a little bit about why you applied and how were you recruited? You know, were you nominated? Did you, you know,
nominate
was there
yourself?
An interview process? All of that kind of stuff.
Okay, so I didn't apply. Okay. I was in the mindset of, it was something I really, really wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I always said, like years ago, I was like, if this goes to the whole of the UK, I want to be the Northern Ireland Commissioner for this, because I felt like it was a full circle moment. I would have went from standing there at Summit and saying that this needs to happen to the early years board to Northern Ireland Commissioner, as well as being a squirrel myself.
Totally, yeah.
But I was also in the mindset of I needed the backing of other people, like the support of other people. And I needed like to know that if I got this role, people actually wanted me to do it and could see that I was capable and able to do it.
Yeah.
So I was nominated. I didn't apply. And that was just sort of the reasoning behind it. But I was so thrilled. And I think Jonathan could tell that on the phone whenever he rang me to say that the nomination had came through.
You were buzzing.
Yeah, I was just like, you're lying. You're lying to me. But no, I was very excited for that. And I had like seen all of the promotion for it, like the emails and stuff going out. It was just sort of personal to me that I just felt like I wanted to know that if I was in the role, it was for the right reasons.
Yeah, totally.
And it wasn't
yeah.
just because I nominated myself and thought I could do it. It was that other people thought I could do it.
100%.
Yeah. And if someone's nominated you, then that person feels you can do it and wants to support you in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bit more backing with that. Kind of off the back of that. So you were nominated, you secured the role and you're now the Northern Ireland Commissioner for Squirrels. Is there anything you did to settle into your new role?
I think it was a lot of communication between Jonathan, Pamela, and then all of the other commissioners as well, and you guys too. I just wanted to get a sense of like what happens at Northern Ireland level.
That's
although
fair.
I've been on all of the Northern Ireland teams at one point or another,
yeah.
but it was just more, I've never been that lead person.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, I just want to know what kind of happens, what you like for the other commissioners, what you find best of trying to like meet leaders and mm-hmm. what worked better, and for events running, like was it better done full Northern Ireland or was it better to filter it down and stuff. I also did like a team meeting with all of the at the time area reps is what they were referred to from the Northern Ireland Squirrel Association, and basically asked them were they still willing to be on this team. and had a meeting with them, talked them through kind of where we're at, and then got ideas from them of what they would want as well. So that was kind of me getting to know the key people and then also easing myself into the position.
It's great though that so did many of the Northern Ireland Squirrel Association members, were they really keen to stay in? And so there's still input from the people then who were obviously in the Northern Ireland Squirrel Association as well. So it's kind of, that's great as well.
I still have quite a bit of communication with Jackie and Marjorie, who were like one of sort of the main people involved in the Squirrel Association. So they still would be sharing information with me, or if I had a question about something to do with like previous squirrels, then they would be able to filter that back to me. A majority of the area reps at the time have stayed on in the roles. There was very few that said that they didn't want to do it anymore. And that was just due to personal reasons and stuff. It was nothing to do with the merger or anything. It was just they were busy.
Which is totally fair enough.
Fine.
Totally.
Yeah.
No, that's so great though, that there's still that kind of, you know, there's that input and that history, and there's, you know, it's not that you're starting completely from scratch.
Yeah.
With completely new people, and, you know, there's still that, all of that around that.
Yeah. So as Vicky, I suppose, has said, that you've done the full circle of scouting, you started a squirrel to being an NIC now. So you've been involved in scouting all your life. What, where did you start? What all have you done? That sort of stuff. You know, a bit about your starting life.
Well,
not that long, but in a few minutes, how your scouting life, I suppose.
Summarize it.
Yeah.
So obviously I started as a squirrel.
Yep.
Key word here, squirrel. Yeah. I progressed through all of the sections. And then when I turned 18, well, before I turned 18, I was like a young leader and stuff as well.
So
I
worked with them. Were you with?
Fourth quarter line.
Okay.
And then I became youth commissioner when I turned 18 in Armagh. And that was, I was a deputy at first, and then I stepped up into the actual role when the youth commissioner left. And that involved a lot of working sort of in different groups and stuff, because at the time there was groups that just needed more support with like leaders and stuff. So I was doing like every single night of the week at a different group with
That's
a
mad.
Different section, like that type of stuff.
You look so happy about it though. Like,
I loved it.
Like, you're so happy when you're talking about it.
I did love it. I would have been every night of the week with a group, and then at the weekend I'd have been camping, and that would have been me. And I worked in a nursery at the time, so it was like not really 9 to 5, but like similar Monday to Friday. It wasn't like anything outside
up.
That was, yeah, it was freeing, so I was fine. And then word got about me. I think just like of my enthusiasm, I hope, was like a good thing.
Yeah.
I started to get involved more with like events and stuff within our county, but also then Northern Ireland. And I ended up on the Beaver team, the Cub team, the Scout team. And I helped on the Explorer team at times. And then David's network team was made up of network members.
Yes.
So I was a network member.
Of course, yeah.
So I was on all of the teams at one point. And then I became, when I went to uni, the network like chairperson for Ulster University for its first year of its like bringing it up and starting it.
Oh, fab.
I joined the National Rule Pool, which just gave us more opportunity to like see how things work at a UK level and get more involved in the decision making process there, and have our say and like be the advocate for the young people in Northern Ireland. They obviously knew I was keen for squirrels because of Summit and things.
Yeah.
So when they asked what areas we wanted to work in, I said early years, and I was put in the early years board. And then, that's it. Then I was
amazing.
In the early years board for like, it's been 2 or 3 years. And then the Northern Ireland Squirrel Commissioner.
Summed
fab.
Up. Very, I think that's the perfect way to sum it
up. There's a lot of rules.
Yes, very much so.
So we've talked a lot about your life in Scouts and all of the roles that you've held at one point or another. But what, when you're not scouting, do you like to do? You know, what kind of fills Becca's days and weeks that's not scouting?
Well, when I'm not scouting, I'm either at uni or I'm at work, to be honest. So for uni, I'm doing my degree in youth and community work, and I'm in my second year. And then for work, I was appointed in April last year as the support worker in charge at Larmo MCA following my placement from first year.
Oh, fab.
So that's, I run the youth club alongside my boss, who's now the senior youth support worker in charge. And I'm responsible for organising the programme for all seven sessions and like making sure that like the young people are getting the most out of the programme and things like that. Similar to what I would be doing in Scouts.
Yeah.
So it all kind of ties in together. And then I suppose outside of that, like hobby-wise, I guess I'm really into Netflix at the minute.
I think that's fair, yeah.
I think I'm just tired after so everything else. Yeah. That, and I do like walking and stuff, and I will like go walking up mountains and stuff whenever I get the chance. It just depends when my schedule's less busy.
Yeah, when you've uni and you've work and you've scouting and all of that, mm-hmm. it does sound very busy. I'm gonna go back a little bit. Your role in work. So you started, you said you were appointed in April last year. Mm-hmm. So you were appointed into a youth centre in the midst of a global pandemic. So how did that look for you? And do you think that kind of the lessons you've learned through that will help you with Scouts, you know, at the minute where there's some groups maybe who are still meeting virtually or that kind of thing? Do you think, like, what have you learned from being in the midst of a global pandemic?
Yeah, so I actually did my full placement online. We were totally virtual for the 3 months that I was doing placement. And then the job opportunity came up and I went for it. And I was literally out of hospital. I just had emergency surgery as well.
Okay, great.
So I was doing my interview online as well. And then didn't think I got the job. I think it's just my confidence thing, really, to be honest. Yeah. And was told I got the job, and then we'd instantly sort of just started back to face-to-face at that point.
Oh, that's
so
great.
I had never been in the building. I had met some of the young people like on Zoom and stuff, mm-hmm. but I've never met them face-to-face. And then it was
they look
like,
different without a scar around them.
Yeah,
they?
I was like, I can see like the lower half of you. There's not just your head.
Not a background there. What's going on?
I was like, this is weird. But I think it was definitely a big learning curve for me because obviously I got to see a lot of young people who had been really affected by the pandemic. So ones that used to be so sort of like I'm told so sort of outgoing and stuff.
Yeah.
That their confidence has kind of just like went down and things or. They weren't like as comfortable going out and about and coming like into youth club and stuff. There was also the limit on numbers and things and then just like the limit on activities and things that we could mm-hmm. run because of COVID. But I think that just got me into being more creative mode and I've developed sort of a lot of my creative skill over this time. So it's constantly pointed out by one of the other people I work with, Lisa. She's always like, Becky, you're just creative. I know you can deal with that. I know you can cope with it because you can come off with things up on the spot. But I think it just took a lot of time and patience. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the big things that I got from it was, I had to learn and they had to learn at the same time. And it wasn't an overnight process and it wasn't something that you could fix. But I think over that time, I've learned so much that when it comes to seeing groups that are struggling, I know better how to help them because yeah. I've like seen the impact that COVID's had on me and my work, never mind mm-hmm. on scouting as well.
Yeah, and I think that's like one thing kind of that I've picked up from what you've said there is that when you were talking about the young people that, you know, maybe have struggled in lockdown and have maybe, you know, they were at one point really outgoing and now they're a lot more reserved. And I think that's why scouting is so important, mm-hmm. especially now.
Totally.
And, you know, getting young people back to socializing, to meeting, to doing things and just to getting out and learning skills and having fun, really.
And that's the one like sort of constant I think for them through the pandemic on a scout basis is that there was always something there for them.
Yeah,
like we were working so hard to get groups running virtual things, but also at Northern Ireland there was so much that we were doing that we were running events more often than we would have like normally, mm-hmm. but yeah. it was for the benefit of the young people yeah. because there was some groups that were struggling and couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And we wanted to provide that support. So there was like game days, there was that whole virtual camp experience yeah. that I know like loads of young ones loved. And I'm sure even squirrels at the time, I think there was a good amount of them got involved at that point mm-hmm. as well. And it shows you kind of how important it was even at that young age to
yeah,
to help them with their development and keep them involved in something so that when it did come back to face-to-face it wasn't as daunting for them as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the same as you said, like, you know, every single section last year 2020 2021 whatever it was had at least something.
Yeah,
like every section bar squirrels because again kind of guess a four-year-old in Zoom could have been near impossible, I think.
Yeah.
I think there was some groups that tried. I'm told it was very eventful.
I've heard, I did hear a few groups that didn't work quite well, and I was like, I'm impressed. I did with my scouts and sometimes it didn't work well.
But I think they kept it like short. I think it was like half an hour sessions, which is for that age group, I don't think you could go anymore. And then they maybe like sent them activities to do after and stuff. But they said it actually was fine, although sometimes chaotic.
Which I'm sure.
It was for any age group on Zoom.
100%.
Yeah, sure, chaos is what we're used to.
Yeah, but I think that's the biggest
thing. It's not chaos. It's not scouting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. But yeah, I think you said every section did something, and I think we're just trying to
pull together.
Yeah, and push, you know, we're having this period. We're still here. We still want to see our young people, you know, reach their potential.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. But no, fantastic. So finally, I suppose, if I say end on a...
Finally, you're looking rid of me now.
Yeah. High note and a, but I don't want to say a bad note. So your scouting, this can be from being so far as your role as an NIC or just in your scouting altogether. One highlight, and I suppose one low light is the best way to put it. Something really exciting, something not as good.
Can I give you like two highlights and one?
Why not? That's fine. Go for it.
Two highlights and one low light.
That's fine.
So one of the big highlights for me was my Malawi build with Habitat for Humanity. We did that back in 2018, and it was like the best experience I've ever had. It was also like really great just to be able to benefit like another community that you could, like when you see something like that on TV, it doesn't resonate with you as much as when you've seen it in person 100%. And like right in front of you, and you can see the families that are affected, the starvation and stuff that's happening, safety issues and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just like, we think if we go out and we don't lock our door, like that's bad, but some of their like places that we're living didn't even have a door. You know, there was families of maybe six people living in a room smaller than the room we're in right now.
Yeah.
So I think being able to benefit a community and support them and see like such pride on their faces, like from us building something that like, it wasn't a mansion. It wasn't, you know, somewhere that it didn't have a pool. It didn't, you know, it wasn't, but they were just so grateful for all that we did for them. And I think that was like one of the best things that I've ever done in my life. The other thing was we did a patrol leader training weekend. I did it with Anne and stuff at the time when I was youth commissioner. And there was this wee boy that just, he just didn't want to really engage with stuff. He'd struggled the night before. Previously, he had to go home, but he came back and stuff and was braving it and all. But he was refusing to do one of these activities. And I don't know why it stuck with me so much, but it was a blind trail.
Okay.
And he didn't want to put the blindfold on and didn't want to do it with anybody else. So I literally just walked over and I was like, can I have your scarf a minute? And he handed me it and I put it around my face and I was like, I can't see. You need to show me around this. And he showed me around it. And I was like,
didn't have a choice.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he didn't have a choice. I can see. And he actually did it and he loved it and he found it like so engaging. And like even Anne and stuff were like, that was really good for him and stuff. So I think like wee things as well as the big things like resonate so much with me. And that was like something that really like put a big smile on. I felt like I'd achieved something just by helping that sort of one person. A low light, I think, would be my Malawi build this time getting cancelled.
Fair enough,
It had been postponed a number of times and then it just got to the point where we just had to cancel it. And I think that was... I think it was kind of sad because we were all geared up to do it. We wanted to help these communities again and we wanted to build that relationship. And we also met in with scout people from over there as well. Totally. So we wanted to see all them again. And I think it was just sad that we weren't going to get to do it. But we are still going to be able to help them. We're still going to be able to support them because all of the money that we've raised already is still going over.
Fantastic.
And they're going to still continue to do the build. We're going to be able to get some pictures and stuff from them. So the work's still going to be done. I think it's just sad that we're not going to be there to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, COVID ruined lots of stuff.
I know. That's the reality of the world we're in at the minute, I suppose.
I know.
But yeah, so thank you so much, Becca. It's been so good to hear more about your experience and for people just to get to know you as well. I know a lot of people do, but it's good to get to know you a little bit better and to listen to your enthusiasm for scouting and how much you love it. So thanks for coming to chat to us.
Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. And we'll see you next month.